The Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the Maryland Parkinson's Disease and Movement Disorders Center, providing clinical research trials that evaluate new therapies and the latest treatment options, including surgical intervention for advancing stages of disease. The number for more information is 1-800-492-5538. Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome back. We have another one of our Theater Baltimore conversations today, and we are privileged to have in the studio two of the men who are appearing in Ma Rainey's Black Bottom at center stage, Maurice McRae, who plays the role of Levy, one of the great roles in theater, and Roe Bodie. Body. I mean, change your name, man. Who plays Sylvester. Good to have you all in the studio. Welcome.
Thank you.
So is this the first time that either one of you played August Wilson?
This is my second, actually. I just graduated it. Yeah, I played the role of
Sylvester. I should say, not Sylvester. Man.
It's totally fine. This is my second. I played Jim of the Ocean. I was in Jim of the Ocean back at school, and I played Caesar Wilkes. He was kind of the Levy of Ma Rainey's, you know, the antagonist, you know, the one that you're supposed to hate, but you can understand where they're coming from, you know, and... from that day on, I had an appreciation for August Wilson's language.
Where was school?
So, NCSA, North Carolina School.
Oh, yeah. Good school, man.
Winston-Salem, North Carolina.
That's cool.
Yeah. So, that's cool. So I studied theater for 5 years.
Norris, was it your first shot at August?
Actually, no. I've done two roles in the piano lesson, and I did Fences.
All right.
Yeah.
Now on Broadway with... Denzel, I want to see that.
And Ro and I have been talking about it. We're going to try to see it during the break.
I heard it's amazing. I heard both Viola and Denzel are powerhouses in that.
They got to be. Yeah. And I don't want to digress and talk about their play because we don't talk about your play. But thinking about Denzel in that role, how different it would be than James Earl Jones playing it just because of his size and his mannerism, the way he does a character is so different. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's going to be wild to watch that build up into the.
Yes. Definitely. And Viola is absolutely amazing. I've seen her and another August Wilson piece, and she's absolutely phenomenal.
One of the few good roles that August actually made for women.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Was that role, I think.
Yes.
That's a good role. So this role of yours, though, I mean, I think that Levy is one of the main, to me, characters in American theater. I mean, his monologues are for an actor to die for and for the audience just to be blown away by.
Right, right. And August Wilson and his amazing writing, it's so intricate. And as soon as you think you're going down one path, he takes you down another. And that's the really wonderful thing. And you can't take the language of August Wilson for granted. And that's the challenge as an actor is the language and the specificity of the language, and to make sure that, you know, you're hitting those operative words so that, you know, it's being conveyed in the original intent. So it's a wonderful opportunity. I've lost several strands of hair, you know, in preparation, but it's been a great ride so far, you know.
It was funny that play itself. When we left the play that evening, my youngest was with us, and she's almost 13, and she goes to the summer camp at Center Stage for acting, and she's into theater real deeply. And so we're watching this character. She asked me this question, which I think is interesting to explore. She said, "So if Levy was angry at the white guy, why did he get so upset about the shoes?" And stab the black guy.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, she said, what was going on there? And that whole scene, that whole part of the play, to me, is one of the pinnacle moments in theater. I mean, the way August wrote that and the way you played it. And talk a bit about that.
Well, I think...
You can both talk about it because you're both into it. But
you know, it's so timely. And this was set in the 1920s.
Right.
You know, in which he felt stepped upon, you know, by this white person who stole his music, but he took his anger out on a fellow African American. And we see that playing out every day this day,
right.
In our communities across this country. And I think it's a universal message underneath there. So the universality of it is, you know, we always hurt the person closest to us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Levy was so conditioned in a way, you know, in terms of the shoes was the thing that he valued the most outside of his music. And it was stepped on. The music was taken away and his shoes were stepped on. You know, and, you know, Levy has a lot going on.
A lot going on.
You know, in that moment, the target is Toledo, you know, the voice of knowledge. And I think what's so interesting is, you know, in our communities, we see that, you know, black-on-black violence is so rampant to this day.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking about, as we speak, of the possibility of bringing the National Guard to Chicago.
Chicago, yeah, right.
I mean, you know.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and when I listen to that on the news, I think, okay, you bring in the National Guard, you know, but what is that really about? What is it about that these young black men and some young black women and Latino men and women particularly feel that there must be ownership in a block. Mm-hmm. What does it say about their own self-worth? And Levy has huge issues with self-worth.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's just the magic and of art and August Wilson's writing that it, you know, it's so timely.
It, I mean, it's just his plays, no matter what decade they're set in, are like eternal.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
I know.
Absolutely. I mean,
time repeats itself, you know. We do the same thing again, over and over again in history, and that's one of them. You know, we turn our backs on the people that should be the closest to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
So and also your age in the play has a lot to do with it. Also,
mm-hmm. Like, what do you mean?
Well, these other cats in the band are
older
than him,
right?
They have more knowledge than him, and you know, he still is young with this naive idea that I can do what I want to do, and I've learned from my dad that if I, you know, set them up, I can get them this way,
right.
And it'll work.
The white people, the white
man. Yeah, the white man, mm-hmm.
Right.
The white man.
Right. Right.
I know it will.
Right. Right. If you interact with them a certain way, you'll get what you need from them, you know. And, of course, all of this is from the eyes of an 8-year-old child.
Right.
Because his growth gets stunted at the moment.
But the violence he experiences, a young black boy.
Exactly.
And watching what white men do.
Exactly. So,
and that's what I'm saying. That I think that the monologues given to Levy are just such. I think are some of the most powerful single moments in theater. You know, when you spin around and can't tell Levy about Levy, that line when you open.
Yeah. Levy got to be Levy.
Levy got to be Levy. Levy
he
got to.
He don't need nobody messing with him about the white man.
Because
you don't know nothing about me. And I think that's something you hear constantly with a lot of young people where they say, you don't know, you don't understand.
Right.
And back to Chicago, I was hearing on the news about, you know, the National Guard, and there was a community activist that mentioned the need, well, you need to go in and talk to the people affected by the community, by this violence. You need to talk to the people who are part of this violent cycle and find out, you know, because it's they're screaming out in their own way, you know. And so there's a need, I believe, to understand. And that's what I've worked to do with Levy, is that you see beyond the bravado. You see, you know, that little boy.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the wonderful thing, the amazing thing about art. You know, and being an artist is when, you know, sometimes, you know, true life can't speak to something, art can.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a wonderful piece to be a part of.
Yeah. I mean, and you play that role as of Levy, the 8-year-old especially.
Mm-hmm.
Is in that character through and through,
mm-hmm.
And the end of the play, it just comes screaming out.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he's had to after that moment, that time when he was 8 years old, he's had to pretty much, you know, grow up on his own. And so, you know, as an actor, I had to say, okay, how does, what kind of perspective does one formulate from that moment on? In the 1920s, when black men hung like strange fruit on trees.
Right.
You know, to, you know, in the context of that, you know, what is his way in or his way out or his way up? And so it's a beautiful story, the humanity of Levy, you know, is wonderful for everyone. It's such a universal story for everyone, you know, so.
Your character, the character of Sylvester, the role that you play,
mm-hmm.
It's a tough character because how an actor chooses to play the kid who's dominated by Ma Rainey and who's has a stutter. That's a tough. An actor can make a stutter. Actors do accents and actors do all kinds of body shifts, but that role is a very tough one. It seems to me to play it a certain way.
Yeah, it could easily be made into I don't know. You could easily make the actor can immediately make the choice to make fun of the character,
right?
If they choose to, and make him a parody or whatever,
right?
But to play the humanity of it, which I hope that I'm doing justice to, is my goal with it.
The audience is uncomfortable with it. Don't they? I'm sure they should laugh.
I know, and that's what I love about it. I love that.
They don't know
because they don't know if they could, and that's when I feel like I'm doing my job.
Uh-huh.
When they're like, oh, this is kind of sad but funny at the same time,
mm-hmm.
you know. So. But yeah, it's been a blast, and I feel like, you know, my character is in the play to, you know, add to the theme that if we encourage each other and we believe in ourselves, we can do anything, you know.
And you guys might have played, Irene directed this, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, she did.
So this would be like her swan song.
Yeah.
After what we just heard.
Yeah. Yeah. I think she's going to finish out next year, I believe.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But it's really, we were very saddened as a... Yeah. cast to hear, because she's and I'm not just saying this, I've worked with a number of directors before and after graduate school, and she's clearly one of the best. She knows how to frame moments like a Picasso, and I'm not kidding. You know, this woman, she has this eye that she's developed over the years that is absolutely amazing to watch, not only participate in as an actor, but to watch her, you know, she'll ask, you know, she's like, you know, I don't, you know, culturally, I might not understand this moment. And she'll ask us, you know, what does this uh-huh. moment mean? And she'll go.
She doesn't pretend to know anything, uh-huh. which is wonderful.
And she'd be like, she said, the whites won't get that.
you know.
Now, tell me about which scene she did that in.
Oh,
you remember
what
part you said that in?
A lot. The red rooster brown hair.
Yeah, yeah. The,
really? If I'm allowed to say that.
Exactly.
We can say that as long as you don't say that.
Right, right. Right, right. So she said, you know, so we need to make sure it's framed in a way so they get it. So as an actor, I have to, my intention is to be very clear, you know.
Right.
And not only what I'm doing, but how I'm doing it. So, and it's... Since, you know, we had that conversation in the rehearsal process, you know, it's now very clear, and every night the audience gets it. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had a student matinee the other day, and the kids clearly got it, you know, and they made sure we knew that they got it, you know. So it's just a wonderful thing about when you're dealing with such a diverse group of people and a specific culture. I mean, because there's even things culturally that, you know, I mean, I grew up, I was born and raised in San Francisco, California, uh-huh. but have roots in the South. But the language, particularly in this piece, this was one of August's earliest pieces. Some of the language is so incredibly specific. So we have to make sure that the thoughts are being conveyed properly and clearly. And she, you know, painstakingly would go make sure those moments were clear. And so it's really, really, really sad that she's going to be leaving Center Stage. Yeah. Really sad.
It and I imagine one of those scenes also, that talk about the closing scene, all the whole scene around shoes is something that on the street is always is, used to be such a huge thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now they're by wearing their pants down below their butts and not caring about shoes. That's a whole nother
thing.
But that, you know, that that's another cultural thing that maybe that's something that that audiences are on black would not go, what is that? Mm-hmm. Why is that?
Yeah.
You know? So now this production, it seems to me it would be, every time I see an August Wilson play, I think about how kids need to just see his productions and wrestle with them. You know, just, and I think about the kids coming to matinee and I was just thinking, those are the kind of plays that these kids have to kind of, they could use that play to really kind of talk about lives and art. And
yeah.
It does that to kids. I mean, it does that. That's what this theater can do.
Yeah, it definitely can. And I mean, it was interesting to hear what they reacted to yesterday. Mm-hmm. And like you said earlier today when we talked about it, I wasn't really surprised at the things that they reacted to. I mean, it was usually the sex and the violence, which just goes to show what is going on, right. You know, in the media right now.
That's right.
But I feel like there were some speeches where I heard a lot of hmms, and they were the really deep speeches and the speeches that I was hoping they were listening to. So I feel like some of the kids out there got something from it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I personally, having, you know, worked with, you know, kids a lot, I expected a lot less of a reaction. Mm-hmm. But they seem much more connected. And I was telling him on the way over here, I got an email on my website from a young student who came to the student matinee, and he was he's from Russia. Mm. And he said he came to the show with a sense of skepticism, but he was truly moved, and he learned, you know, about the history of America in a different way. And to me, for that reason, you know, that's why I do this work. His family was enslaved in the early 1900s, he told me.
Hmm.
And so it was really interesting for him to connect. Uh-huh. You know, and so the universality of this play is such, it's what draws so many different kinds of people to those seats every night. And we've had amazing audiences and, you know, from the young to the old, and, mm-hmm. you know, people have waited afterwards, you know, and to move people collectively as an ensemble is such, you know, it's what makes it worth being an artist, you know, because as theater artists, you know, we're not making the big buck. So, you know, but there's another payoff. And I think it's just a wonderful, wonderful piece to be a part of.
It is. You all work out of where? You work out of
New York.
You too?
Yes,
as well?
New York.
So, as the life of an actor is a tough one.
Who?
I mean, I'm new in the game. I just started less than a year, so this guy has a better, you know, but he knows it better than I do. But I, being out a year, I'm still hungry, and it's crazy.
Yeah, it's been. I'll be honest with you. I will say you have to love this business.
Oh, yes,
you have to love the art form, because if you get in it for any other reason, you won't last.
Yeah.
And there's been a lot of ups and downs, but you know, in a time when we as a society, we're becoming more and more desensitized. You know, there was a story in New Yorker where this Good Samaritan helped a woman who was getting mugged, and he got stabbed, and he was laying there, and he died. This happened a few days ago.
Oh, I missed that one.
There's a sense of, there's this desensitivity, and with the internet and with everything that is happening across society. And as an artist, I always feel it's our work to help people remember who we are, mm-hmm. collectively, the universality of our humanity, and the sense of your pain is my pain, your triumph is my triumph, and ultimately that's what keeps me in this business. Because nothing else, I tell you, does. Because I mean, you can have a wonderful gig like this. And then, you know, like for me, you know, I could not work for another 2 or 3 years.
Right.
You know, I've had to have other work. It's the nature of this business, and we, with reality television, you know, and smaller budgets, bigger stars doing smaller roles, you know, it's you just have to love it and trust and have faith that what you're meant to do, you will contribute, you know.
And I like your reflections on being an actor, because I mean, I think that it's people who really believe in their work, as you do, obviously both do, that being an actor is something which, since you have to assume and consume another human being into your being to play the role, I mean, it stretches your own humanity.
Oh, yeah. You know? It's a lot more about unmasking than it is masking.
Right.
And a lot of people get that misconception that, you know, you it must have taken you so long to memorize those lines. I'm like, it's so much more than lines. You have no idea. It's all about trying to get what I can from the other person.
Right.
And it's life or death.
Right.
And if it's not life or death, then the stakes aren't high enough. And, you know, that's a secret that the audience doesn't know.
Right.
Many audiences don't know.
And one thing I learned in my training was, you know, where is the character in you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, where I had to find those aspects of Levy in me.
Mm-hmm.
Of if I were in those circumstances, you know, find Levy in me. You know, and so it's really difficult, because you're not just throwing out lines every night. All that stuff is living in you in the moment.
And so you've got to be, because you've got to take a role like Levy,
mm-hmm.
and you do have to play it as you, because it's been done by others,
right?
And you can't let that mindset control how you do Levy.
Exactly. And as a matter of fact, you know, that came up in the rehearsal process. And you know, there were other actors in the show who had worked with the original, Charles Dutton, who's an amazing actor, and I had to tune it out.
Yeah, you had to.
You know, I didn't need to hear that he did this or did that, because I had to find Levy for me.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And Irene also said the same thing. She pulled me to the side. She said, "You're going to have to find Levy for you and tune out, you know, these other people who's had this experience with, you know, their production, the other production." And I'm just very fortunate that, you know, I was strong enough to have my own inner voice to really find him for me. Otherwise, it wouldn't be authentic. And I think as actors, we always seek to be honest. We always seek to be authentic in our work.
And you did. And you did it.
Thank you. Thank you.
You really did it. I mean, you did an amazing interpretation of the character of Levy, who was one of my favorite characters in theater. I just think it was just wonderful.
Thank you, and thank you to August.
Yes, thank you to August Wilson.
If it wasn't for him, you know.
And this has been great. We're talking with Maurice McCrae, who plays Levy in Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, and Rob Body.
Okay.
Your name, man, Bob, who plays Sylvester. So I'm encouraging you all not to miss this play. It runs through May the 9th, and you can call 410-332-0033 for tickets, or go to centerstage.org and do your tickets online. Whatever way you do it, go do it. Enjoy the evening. It's a relax, have a drink, watch the play. Gentlemen, it's been great to have you in the studio. Thank you so much. The Mark Steiner Show is made possible by Johns Hopkins Medicine. For the 19th consecutive year, the Johns Hopkins Hospital is ranked number one by U.S. News & World Report in their annual Best Hospital Survey. Find out more about the nation's top hospital at hopkinsmedicine.org. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Justin Levy and Christina Arison. We're engineered by Brian Boone. Our interns are Judith Lloyd, Brian Boone, Richard Good, Gay Pinder, and Felicia Faison. Our theme music is by Wal Matthews of Clean Cuts. To hear this show again, podcast any of our past shows, hear additional interviews, please visit us on the web at steinershow.org. And for Public Radio, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.